Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's put our hands together and thank God for what He's done this morning. Let's thank God for what He's done. Hallelujah. Your enemies, you've adopted us into your kingdom by the blood of your Son. You alone, you deserve our worship, our adoration, our thanksgiving. Thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for drawing our hearts to you. Thank you for encouraging us, inspiring us. It is not vain to seek you, to serve you, to wait on you. Receive all glory and honor today. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Can you turn up the Yeah, thank you. Good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. It's so good to see everybody today. Amen. We thank God for your presence. Amen. God is faithful. I have two things I want to bring to attention today regarding the season that we're in and what the amazing, miraculous journey we're about to embark. Amen.
Amen.
It will be a life-changing time for every one of us. Every one of us. I have longed for this season. I look forward to it. Whenever God puts this kind of season, calling us to a season of consecration. But before I bring our attention to that this morning, even before the service began, I just could not hold my tears in my heart. God is doing something in Mount Zion. Amen. I am just watching and I'm seeing such just a miracle unfolding in different people's lives, different departments and different ministries. And it's just, and I believe God to reward you all and those who have been seeking the face of the Lord across the body of Christ in a way that we never expected. But I just want to start to say, last yesterday evening, I left this place really with tears of joy to see our B students and our worship team create such an atmosphere of excellence, giving their talents not only to God, but using their gifts and calling to bless the community. Amen.
Amen.
Yesterday, we were so blessed. I mean, just to see some of the people you see here, they came from different states. They sacrificed, they gave up their time because they felt the need to be part of what the youths did yesterday. I really thank God for what has begun, you know, in this post-COVID era. What happened yesterday was not so much about here, but I saw something different, something bigger. I want to thank so much all the guests that came to be part of the celebration night. From Nashville, from North Carolina. Our dear Stephanie came all the way to visit us. Stephanie, good to see you. I miss you. Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
If you go to Texas and you ask for Stephanie, it's amazing what God is doing with her in Texas. And I want to thank our brother, Jira, and my sister, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. relationship has been built through Mount Zion and these families in Nashville. And I believe God is taking us together somewhere. And I'm so grateful. Thank God for those from North Carolina and just different parts. And just let's just thank God for our B students and Daisy. If you watch the production on TV, you will see the excellence because of Bimi and Kofi and all the technical, our media team, Macadema. They it's unbelievable. And this was done in a short time. Mm-hmm. Something really touched my heart yesterday, where God is taking our young people. Amen. Amen. We must make more room for them to lead us. Amen.
Amen.
I really thank God for you all. And then, in this season, God just opened the wisdom of the Lord to prepare this church and giving also what God is doing here to some other pastors. And, of course, we'll be sharing it nationally with the networks we have. But the wisdom of preparing every believer to be able to be a house fellowship leader. I really thank God for, one, our leaders here in Mount Zion, they've adopted home fellowships. And it's incredible what God is doing through them. In a time like this where there's so much disconnect, there's so much scattering, I work with a lot of pastors. And there's so much going on. And I see our home fellowship leaders, they are setting the example, setting the pace for what is coming. Because every believer needs to know how to take care of other people in their homes. Amen?
Amen.
So I really want to thank you all so much, our home fellowship leaders, for the amazing work you're doing and leading the example to where God wants to take the church. Then, not only that, we have a bunch of leaders who completely have sacrificed time through their years of training and volunteered without pay to become the teachers of our school of ministry. What a sacrifice. You're doing it with all your heart, dedicated 7 weekends back to back just to train and to prepare a group of people that God is preparing the body to lead. And I want to thank God for the school of ministry. The school of ministry is so timely because that is what God is doing now to position us and the body. So what will happen, because where we're going, there will be so much harvest. There will be people running to God the way they've never run to God before. And we need every believer to be able to disciple people. Amen?
Amen.
So we thank God for those who have really sacrificed, giving their time to come to the school of ministry, to be trained, empowered, so that they can lead and be leaders of home fellowship. God is doing an amazing thing. And we have families here engaged prophetically. I mean, God is speaking to so many people in this house. Last week, we heard from Charity. Again, we have families in this house. Everybody is doing something. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody is doing something.
Amen.
I wish I could just begin to talk about what God is doing with every family in this place. But I just want to say, I'm so inspired to see the maturity and the unfolding work that is happening here. It's not the number when you establish a disciple platform. Then eventually, as God starts moving, disciples create disciples. And that's how you anchor a lot of people. So I want to thank all the families that have been loving on the students, loving on different groups, hosting them in their homes. Just all the various ways every one of you has been a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all so much, especially in times like this. It's good to be together. Thank you.
Amen.
One pastor asked me, because about 600 to 800 churches have closed permanently because of this COVID impact. Others are growing. I wish I could have time to share with you the exponential growth of some churches. But so many churches are struggling. Especially some, small churches, and their pastors are not bivocational. So So a pastor asked me, how are you guys surviving in this time? I told him, we're not surviving. Because God is always in control of our provision. It's amazing how God is using the remnant of this church to sustain what God is doing. And it's amazing, even students that have graduated from here, some people who are not here that I'm in fellowship with, suddenly they've just come online, they've been supporting my time in this season like this. So I really want to thank you all so much. It's in every area using it to literally, we are growing and we are moving forward. And the prayers and all you're doing has brought us to this point. Amen? And then before I get into this, the last thing I want to say before we get into this important message for today. Something happened last Sunday, and it has evolved into an amazing thing that I will share more of it tonight. But what happened is, last Sunday, there was a divine encounter here with a major respected professor. I don't want to mention his name at this point. When I first came to this city, I heard a lot about the man with the stick. It was God used him prophetically to make history in this city. He was here because we were going to host some students here this last Wednesday. And something happened. And from Sunday, something happened here last Wednesday. And then, yesterday, he came. And then added to that. And then, the momentum is building. The reason why he impacted me so much, especially yesterday, was because when we came here by divine appointment. Amen? Amen. I knew some of the reason why God brought us here. But there was one aspect of the story that has not been cleared yet. Yesterday it was cleared. And I have the record now. I will share more with us as we go into this morning. The ground where we are and that very field was a tabernacle. The very place where we are was the place 1908 from August 11 to October 14th. The greatest move of God ever took place in this cell that gave birth and caused an explosion with the Church of God through a man by the name of A.J. Thomas. The fire was ignited close to North Cleveland area. He was baptized and fused by the fire of the Lord. And then they started a tent meeting right here. And that's where this whole thing, this what they call a great revival, took place. That aspect of the story I never knew. I thought it was later part after the Church of God and Church of God prophecy split. That was when they came back here. They came back here much later. But that revival started on this ground. It is the greatest confirmation to the Lord that God has revealed all these years. And the prophecy of it. Now I know it's not a presumption we're sitting on a well. But we're sitting, literally, on a well. Abraham had an encounter with God. One of the greatest encounters to fulfill the promises of God. It was on Mount Moriah, where he was to put Isaac on the altar. When Abraham did that, God made a fresh covenant with Abraham and released the blessing. That's where the word Jehovah Jireh came. On that very mountain, David had an experience. That ground, when there was a plague, a pestilence taking place in Israel because of David's disobedience. And at the very height of the plague, thousands were dying. David was advised to go to the field of Araunah. When he got there, as he was offering sacrifice and pleading, that was the very ground the plague stopped. That very ground, David bought it with a great price. And that was where Solomon built the first temple, the temple. And then when the temple was destroyed, the second temple was built right on the same spot. And that very same spot is again going to be the spot the last temple will be built. Amen. Why not any other place? Because that very ground was the place where God made a sacrifice. Isaac was a type and shadow of Christ. And whatever happened on that place established a perpetual place between heaven and earth. Amen? So there are certain places where you probably will not know, but somebody has paid a price. And somebody has made a covenant and made a sacrifice. And for some reason, that ground attracted heaven. And for some reason, other places can disappear. But something must have happened on that ground, like Abraham did, that makes God feel, I still will do something in that ground. And I'm telling you, that's what was confirmed yesterday. We've been here, we know that, or yesterday it was historically confirmed. This was the very ground. And I believe, based on what we have known and what I know, he's going to visit again.
Amen.
In this very ground.
Yes.
That's why we went through the loop of TLR building. But after this ground, we have bigger, bigger places God has for us in this city.
Yes.
And it's not very far.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. And I want to thank God for those who have been very faithful to watch online. And because this place can take everybody, and we are trying to honor again wisdom with the situation that we are in. So thank you so much. We love you. We appreciate you. We know you are on the line. We follow up with you. So God bless you and stay engaged. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I want to read a familiar scripture with us today and bring some things to our attention about the season we're about to go into that will change all our lives forever. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to open to, you all have heard, some of you have memorized it, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 2 Chronicles 7. But we're going to start today instead of the popular 14. We're going to start from 12. Amen. 2 Chronicles 7 from 12, it says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayers, and I have chosen this place to be, I've chosen the place to myself for a house of what? He's talking about the temple. This was the dedication of that very ground I was talking about. Amen?
Amen?
I've chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. That's prayer. That's a prayer. Verse 13. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence or plagues like coronavirus among my people, verse 14, if my people, not the world, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, he didn't put fasting there, but another word for fasting is humbling yourself, amen?
Amen.
Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Remember, not my hand. And turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will what? Heal their land. If there's any time our country, the nation where we are today, America needs a healing of the land, it is now. Amen?
Amen.
So, now, let's open to the book of Joel. We'll start from... Just open to the book of Joel, chapter 1. Before we read the book of Joel, the Lord made it very clear, he provided a redemption plan for Israel. Because he knows the enemy will come. He knows there will be temptation time, trial times. Amen? And Israel might backslid, which they did. So when Israel backslid from the Lord and turned away from the things of God, amen? The Lord says all the blessings that has blessed them will be reversed into a curse. So here God was telling Solomon after such a powerful prayer during the day, and the dedication of the temple, and God blessed the place, but then God came to him by night to give him a redemptive plan. He says, if I withhold rain, if there is locust in the land, if there is pestilence in the land, all those things God just mentioned were things God spoke to Moses that will happen when Israel backslides, or when they go into sin, or they turn away from God. Amen? So God is saying, wherever Israel turns away or backslid or turn away from God, their heart, their mind, these things will happen. So God is saying, when these things happen, don't put all your focus and your confidence on human solution. He says the solution will always, permanent solution will come from heaven. And it says the only people that will understand that solution will be my people. Amen?
Amen?
So, in the times we live in, there are solutions that can only come through the process that God has given. Spiritual solution that will bring about natural redemption. So, this solution became a principle for Israel. So, in the book of Joel, exactly this happened during the time of Joel, when Joash was the king of Israel. There was such a very, very bad situation. Israel has backslidden. They've turned away from God. They've become so independent. They've trusted in their own strength, in their pride, in their ways. The church has become more religious, like we heard last night. You know, it's all about something else other than the focus on Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So, the days of Joel, the rain has been taken away. The land is now so parched, so dry, so rough, nothing was growing. Everything started dry. It's almost like they had winter and winter and winter, and there was no more spring. So everything was dry. That caused them to have an economic breakdown because Israel was known for its agriculture. That was the economy then. So that started happening. They didn't have things to feed people. And then from that point, famine came. And then the remaining crops that they could depend on, locusts came. This time, physical locusts. And devoured it up, it up, it up. And then after that, then the armies of the nation started besieging Israel. So they went from rain being withheld, and there was famine. There was no food, there was no wine, there was nothing. Even the sacrifice at the temple, animals were malnourishing. Then they went to no food. They started going to financial breakdown. Then they started going to famine, distress, confusion, if you read it. And then the other nations started blocking them. What today we call sanction. And it was very bad. really bad situation. So Israel didn't know what to do, and they were not turning to God until a prophet who understood the principles of God, the heart of God, the ways of God, went back to what Solomon said. And he started crying out to the people. He started crying out to the church, to the ministers, to those who serve in the temple, to the nation, to the people, trying to remind them what the solution is. And in Joel chapter 1, he said, we'll read from verse 14, he says, let's read from 13, he says, "Gird yourselves and lament, you priests. Howl, you ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, you ministers of my God, for the meat offering and the drink offering is withholding from the house of your God. Sanctify all you a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord." Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to verse 2. Chapter 2. Let's go to verse, continue from verse 12. "Therefore also now, say, turn you even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your hearts, and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord." Is what? Gracious. Is what? Merciful. Is what? Slow to anger. Is what? Of great kindness. And what will he do? He will repent him of the evil. Repentance is the most powerful weapon against Satan. There are things you can be going through. You prayed all you know how to pray. The enemy is still accusing you. He's still fighting you. But repentance completely is a place of surrender where you acknowledge, "God, I repent. I surrender. I bring myself totally bare before you. I cannot without you." Where this incense of repentance releases the mercy of God. And it's an intervention of grace. Amen?
Amen?
So, Joel was telling them here, calling them prophetically to a season of consecration. Then he says, verse 14, "Who knows if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God." Then he says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify, consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly." A sacred assembly. It's not just any kind of assembly. "Gather the people. Consecrate the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children." Everybody say children.
Children.
Say children.
Children.
Gather the children. And those that even what? Are still milking the breast of their mom. Everybody together. Amen?
Amen?
"Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people." Then if you read further, you will see how God responded. When their repentance was genuine, they were true heart, brokenness, true repentance, true tears, true lamentation, just genuine cry like God told Solomon. God responded. The first thing God did was God started dealing with their enemies. Amen?
Amen.
Their enemies was coming to take over the northern. God immediately reproached them and sent them back. If you read in the days of Joash. You will see also As God sent them back, God dealt with that. Then God says, now that you are back, now that the jealousy of the Lord, he says, God will send not just a rain, like he's done in the past. He says he will send the early and the latter, meaning he will give them rain in abundance. Amen. And then he says your crop will grow, everything will come back to life, your harvest will overflow their bounds, their wine, over and over. And then he says, afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on what? This was in the Old Testament. But it also talks about the New Testament. It was Peter, after 10 days of consecration and prayer, Peter quoted the same scripture when the Spirit was poured out. Amen?
Amen.
So, the message of this call, the first part is this. If we can't just be to see a revival, we can at least believe God for the city. If we can't believe God for the city, we can believe God for our lives. Amen?
Amen.
And one of the ways God says a radical heaven's encounter with the earth is through the call, through the corporate call, through an assembly like this. Amen?
Amen.
So we feel we are in a season where it's not just us. Fortunately, God is awakening people all through the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And so many people, so many ministries, so many networks feel the urgency to call a season of consecration.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Nothing is more powerful than when the body of Christ does it together. So there's a call, nationally called the return. Amen?
Amen.
Basically, America return to God. Church return to God. Amen?
Amen?
If we lead the way, as God begins to move, the rest of the nation will follow. Amen?
Amen?
So there's a national call. It's actually a global call about the return. And Allah will put it on the website for you all later and send it to you so you see all the as a call. But why is the return? Why are so many hearts resonating with this? And why are we as a body have to respond together during this time of return? One, I don't need to tell any of you, all of us are experiencing an unusual time in the history of the world. The impact of COVID on the world is heavy, isn't it?
Yes.
But the impact in America is unusual. America is at a crossroad. Not like any other in the history of this nation. Right now, you all know what's going on. And there are expectations that because of the flu season in the winter, the COVID might get worse. Amen?
Amen.
There's still efforts to produce a vaccine, and the vaccine is very controversial. All that's a confusion in the nation. These are practical things I'm talking about. So, people are afraid about this winter. People are concerned. Not only that, America just pumped over $6 trillion into the economy. Part of that is also. So America, even though the nation is still standing on one feet, the economy is being pushed up. There's a fear, of course, of where the economy is going to go. There is a lot of confusion about vaccine. There's a lot of confusion. Now, add all this that is happening, America is about to go into one of the... that's what we've been saying for a long time, but I was not surprised. When the two parties are saying the same thing. From this party and from that party, they are saying this is a critical election in American history. So if both of them are saying it, means they know something. Amen? I can tell you, they are saying the right thing. This will be the most critical election in American history. Because right now, again, we see a level of division that is happening in the nation that is not, it's almost turning into a civil war. There is confusion. So, there is no solution. And there's no better time. The church can never be a solution if the church is the problem. So the only way to be a solution is to apply the recipe of heaven. And that is to say, God, we have all sinned. We are part of the problem. And we want to lead the way to say, we need help from heaven. We are asking you to forgive us. We're asking you to clean us. If we've been doing the right thing, the nation will not be here today. If we're light. So we want to come together and say, God, it's us. It's forgive me, wash me, cleanse me. Whatever that is clogged my spiritual life. You know, so that's called repentance. Amen?
Amen?
Have you ever said, the world doesn't know how to repent. Amen?
Amen.
The world, we only know how to blame. Amen?
Amen?
Ever since the fall of man, Adam blamed Eve, Eve blamed the devil. That's all we know. So the only people that have the capacity to repent has to come from the grace of God. For you to say you're wrong, that's a miracle. Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Maybe you've not experienced it. Maybe you're right all the time. But when for me to say I'm wrong, I need a miracle. Amen?
Amen?
So for the church to say we are wrong and we need heaven is called repentance. And God said, when you call a sacred assembly and do it, I will come and help you.
Mm.
Amen?
Amen?
So that's one reason I just listed a few. Why the nation, the church, and those who are sensitive to the spiritual climate of the nation are needing a call. So we also, Mount Zion, we felt that burden for a long time, and we're glad that it's becoming a national call. Uniting to do that. We're also going to be doing it in the city also. We're having that same call in the city. But in Mount Zion, we're going to do something unique that we're not involving, that the rest of the nation are doing different things. But we are going to do something because of just the burden God has put in our hearts. Before I say what that is, let me give you the second part of why we need to do it. In a nutshell, there's a practical wisdom that I learned from Jesus about seasons. And this was Jesus speaking to the disciples in John chapter 16, verse 20, 21 and 22. The season that they were, Jesus was about to enter, and the season the disciples were about to enter, was going to be a very crucial moment. And Jesus knew that the people will not understand the moment. They will misinterpret it. They're going to get afraid. They will not understand it. So he used a metaphor. And that metaphor, he says, the season you are coming into now will be like a woman that has come to her hour of birth. But before the woman gives birth, she goes through a time of sorrow. That word sorrow means birth pains. Amen?
Amen.
And those are moms that are here, and if you study biology, birth pains is a process of contraction that takes a woman from stages and stages and peaks until the woman gets to that very difficult transitional moment when the child is about to come forth. Amen?
Amen.
The greatest expectation of the woman is about to come forth is the time of the greatest pain. Ask every woman that has given birth. Am I right? Say yes.
Yes.
Oh, we don't have.
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
No, okay, good.
Yes.
Except you had a very special epidural or something. Amen?
Amen.
So Jesus used that illustration because if you don't understand the natural, you can't understand the spiritual. Basically, Jesus was telling them, you're about to go through a a transition. And me, myself, I'm going to die. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be crucified. And they were like, Peter was couldn't take it. He says, it's not going to happen to you. He said, get behind me, what? Satan. Amen?
Amen?
It's like telling a woman you're not going to give birth because of the pain. That's what she's been waiting for 9 months. Amen?
Amen.
So Jesus says, we're going to go through this. So, but the only way we're going to go through is, I'm going to ask for prayer. So Jesus asked for prayer for the first time. Told his disciples to come and pray. Guess what? How many of you know that story? How many times did he wake them up? Eh? Because it was the hour of darkness. He waked them up, they go back to sleep. He waked them up, they go what? Back to sleep. He waked them up, they go what? Back to sleep. So when the Jesus started going through, what happened? They ran away because they refused to pray. Amen?
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 Amen.
I'll tell you, John is a prayer warrior. John didn't run away. John followed him to the cross. What's the point? If Jesus will call for prayer in a time of transition, who are we not to be in prayer in a time when America is about to transition into a new day?
Yes.
Birth pains begins, the Bible says, has a beginning of birth pains. The purpose of the beginning is to give a woman a sign the baby is about to come. Don't be traveling and flying everywhere. Stay close to when you go to the hospital. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Or you start going to vacation or something and go give birth somewhere. So, a woman needs to have a sign. The first sign is called the beginning of what? Birth pains. Amen?
Amen?
That's the sign that the woman must start getting ready. And going. We just experienced the beginning of birth pain. It's called COVID-19. Amen?
Amen.
It is a sign. It's a warning. Amen?
Amen?
And the nations are feeling that birth pain. How many of you are feeling? Look at schools today. You have to have an app to go to class. You have to do this. Everything is changing in the woman's makeup at this time. A lot of things are beginning to shift in a woman's womb. In a woman, because the child is changing position. Amen? You can see nations. Things are shifting. Things are changing. Amen?
Amen?
So this beginning of birth pain is a sign. A lot of people might not take this sign seriously. Some people will just take it as life as usual. Let's fix it. Let's go back to normal. Let's get back to normal. Or whatever the new normal is, let's get going with the new normal. But those who understand the atmosphere knows it's the beginning of something. And we need to position ourselves. The Bible says the wise virgins, they trim their lamps and they position themselves. Amen?
Amen?
The Bible says in the days of Joseph, Joseph applied wisdom and prepared for what was coming. And it was a blessing. God don't want us to be victims of this situation. He wants us to be solutions.
Amen.
And the only way to be solution is to be positioned with God. So, it all started at climax in America in March. That was the Passover season. And then, all of a sudden, as we're praying into the season of Pentecost, these are spiritual seasons, all of a sudden, there was an eruption of a protest. Amen?
Amen.
What was supposed to be an evil and injustice done was eventually hijacked and a different representation arise in the nation. And today, is intensifying the division in the nation. Amen?
Amen?
That protest has caused the nation to enter a place the nation has never been in a long time. And that class. So why am I saying this? The first thing I share with you why we need to go into a time of consecration and prayer was the spiritual aspect. Seeking the face of God in the time of spiritual famine and the physical problems we're going through. The second part is using the analogy of birth pains to let us see Something happened in Passover. Something happened in Pentecost. Now, the season we're about to consecrate a fast, leading to the election, falls into the four seasons of the Bible, what they call the feast season. So, we are calling for a 40-day time of consecration. Amen? We're calling for a 40-day time of consecration that will begin September 1st. That is this coming Tuesday. And we're going to finish on October 10th. October 10th. We're going to consecrate ourselves to the Lord. The purpose why God honors consecration is because it's a corporate thing. It's not a personal thing. It's a call for a sacred assembly. Call the congregation, the people, the elders, the children, everyone. Let there be a family mindset into this. Why a family mindset? Because God wants an impact and a transformation, a blessing that will affect every individual, from the child to the parents to the elders to the leaders to the congregation to the church and to the nation. He wants every person to be represented, that every level will be blessed. Amen?
Amen.
Corporate call, corporate response, corporate results. So we're calling for 40 days of consecration. We are joining with the rest of the nations in the various way they are calling. But for Mount Zion, we're calling for 40 days of consecration. Let's give ourselves to worship and seasons of prayer. Amen? The first day, we're going to have communion to sanctify, to consecrate, and to dedicate this fast, and to cover us and our families, and to literally take communion to you. Bond our tithe and to start this. Amen? And then on the 18th day of the fast is called the Feast of Trumpets. We're going to do another communion on that day. And then on the 27th, we'll do another fast. Communion. These are communion days. We'll also take communion. So we're going to cover the blood. We're going to cover this from the beginning to the end with the blood covenant. We'll take communion and then we'll take communion on the 2nd, which is the evening of the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles. And then the last day, the big day of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is October 10th, we'll celebrate communion. And then every day, there will be those who their job or opportunity will give them the privilege, they will be able to attend. Maybe we have a 6 a.m. time of prayer. Abby is going to be helping us with those that will sign up. 6 a.m. for early risers. Amen? Amen. They will be here, and it's all just worship and just pray as the Lord leads you in a time of repentance. Repenting for the church, for the nation, individuals. And there will be also prayer here. Pastor Grace is making the schedule. Sister Rachel is going to be here for that period of time to oversee that group. Individuals will be praying, but she will be leading as one of our prayer leaders. Amen?
Amen?
7 p.m. every night. We are inviting everybody to come as much as you can. Amen? And the reason is we are going to create room back there for those who want just to maintain social distances. Those rooms will be available. The corner there will be available. Any corner you can find a place, as long as we're gathered together. Amen? Those who come early can have places here. We'll space out these chairs. But you'll be hearing the music from this place, and you join the worship from wherever you are. And if there's special times of communion, we'll make it known. We'll pass out communion. During communion, we'll pray. Amen? It will be led in worship, and then prayer leaders are already assigned to lead prayer. Pastor Manuel oversees this whole time of this time of tabernacling with the Lord during these 40 days. We have different prayer leaders, we have worship leaders, and we have musicians for every day of the 40 days. Amen?
Amen.
We thank God. We have musicians, we have Daisy, we have Cheryl, and we have Nayongo. Amen?
Amen?
They've been preparing for this, and every day I have the schedule. Every day is occupied now. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So that will be 40 days of consecration. You pray, and as God speaks to us, we keep going and praying for the nation. Let me tell you, we're also going to do it nationally. We are hosting it nationally with different prayer networks. And the Wailing Women and many people, that's 6 to 7 p.m. every day for 40 days online. So people that can't be here, we're able to connect with them nationally. And a lot of people are signing up for that. So, why is this important? I shared two things with you, but why is it important to you personally? 40 days fast is not a fast you call normal. You don't just do 40 days like, I'm doing 40 days fast. Don't do that. Don't ever go into 40 days fast casually. Don't nonchalantly. Don't do that. It's a waste of time, and you're just punishing your flesh. By the way, before some people lose hope, the 40 days fast is not for you to fast 40 days. Amen? It's for you to fast a day, if you can, at least one day. The least is one day. Amen? If you can do 3 days within the 40 days, I see a lot of people smiling. If you can do 3 days within the 40 days, that's fine. If you can do 7 days within the 40 days, that's fine. 40 days, that's fine. Amen? Sister Rachel might be doing 40 days, I don't know. But whatever you can do during that 40 days, we just want to spice and cover the length of that 40 days. Somebody's fasting. Even if it's one day, somebody's fasting. Amen?
Amen?
So it's not for you to do the whole 40. Choose some days. But just to make sure that we cover the whole 40 days, every 10 days, 10 days, 20 days, 30, 40, every bracket beginning September 1st, if you let us know or let Eniola know, we have a sign of sheet, that you're fasting within the first 10 days, you don't have to tell us how many days. Just say within the first 10 days I'm there. So we don't want everybody fasting on the 30th to the 40th. And then from the first 40 days, nobody's fasting. So we just want to use that to have an idea, you know, that people are covering those windows of time. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Cook, are you going to fast and write to me? Amen. 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 So, why is it important? 40 days fast is one of the fasts that changes, reverses, and it ushers in new seasons in your life. You don't fast 40 days. Most only twice or sometimes once at the most, maybe 3 times in their lifetime. Some people do it, but only maybe they don't understand the meaning. You have to be led by the Lord. You have to be led by the Spirit. And it's very significant. You know, some people do, as many have done, different fasting or through times, but a few times have done 40 days. One of the most significant 40 days fast. Actually, in the whole Bible, 40 days fast is only recorded significantly and more expressively 4 times in the whole Bible. That's how powerful and significant it is. Moses, the first 40 days was when God gave him the law for the nation, called a nation, called the constitution, called the Ten Commandments. And that was the first time in the mountain. The second was the revelation of the tabernacles. The whole books of the Bible, from Genesis to the first 5 books of the Bible, by Moses from these experiences. The tabernacle. You can shift. Then the other 40 days was Elijah. God, for you, this journey you're going, you're going to be 40 days in this trip. After that trip was when double portion of anointing was with Elijah. And because of that 40 days fast, Elijah just walked right into heaven with the chariots of fire. 40 days fast not only changes season, it takes you to a dimension spiritual levels you've never had. The last 40-day fast is in the New Testament. You never see a place Peter was doing 40 days because of the New Testament was Jesus. He set the platform for 40 days fast in the New Testament when he entered into preparing to bring in, release a new covenant, a new season in the destiny of Israel and man. He came fast, and that was when he entered into the fullness of his ministry. You hear 40 days, you have to understand God has a plan. If you apply yourself well to it, this will be the last time you will live in the old season. Personally, the last 40 days fast, I did not know. Until Kezia, we're looking at her diary, she's brought it up. I was single for 25 years or more. So I've developed a mindset for single life. A mindset, a focus. My body, everything in me, I didn't know. When the Lord spoke to me about marriage, I didn't know it was the 40 days fast that prepared me for it. We started a 40 days fast when? Was that
July 11th?
I'm finished in August 9th. I got married October 23rd. So God had to use a 40 days fast to literally transform me spiritually, socially, and physically to change the season in my life. It was a 40 days. I never knew that. 40 days fast will bring you into a new season. It doesn't matter what it is. Impossible becomes possible. So when we're going into this, don't take it casually. It's a destiny changer and it's a destiny propeller. So enter this 40 days believing God for the unusual, personally, family-wise, corporately, and let's see what happens. And we're leading to the Feast of Tabernacles. And these 40 days will prepare you for what is coming in America. You will ride it like a wave. Amen? Incubated by God in the place of consecration. Amen.
Amen.
How many of you are ready for 40 days now?
Amen.
If you're ready,
amen.
If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
If you fast 40 days, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So that's the 40 days for those of you online. Let's share this and invite as many that wants to join us. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to begin 1st of September. Please remember, when we come, the worship will be on. Just when you come, just find a place to pray. We're not putting any law on anybody that you have to be here the whole 40 days. But if you can, you've heard about it, but just make time, consecrate it, and believe God for the unusual. Amen. So let's pray to that moment. Let's consecrate that moment and thank God for the 40 days. Kezia, please come on, lead us and pray for this. Pray for this moment, this 40 days. Amen. It took 40 days fast for me to be married.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We believe God for the impossible. Amen. For a turnaround of situations. Amen. Shall we pray together? Father, we do thank you for the patterns that you have laid for us in the Bible, even in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you've spoken to us this morning, O God. We thank you for the example of Elijah, that after the 40 days he came down, even his very face reflected who you were, that the people couldn't stand the glory. Thank you, Father, for what you are about to do in these days. In these days, oh God, when darkness has overtaken the earth, you are calling to yourself a people, a remnant that will come and stand before you. Father, we dedicate ourselves this morning, all of us in the sanctuary, even the ones watching on the line and the ones that will join on however they will join. Father, we come to you and we say, Father, in and of ourselves, we can do nothing. Lord, it will be so difficult for us to fast even for a day. and you are calling us to a time of 40 days of prayer and fasting. Now, Lord, we release this to you, and we ask that you go ahead of us. That, Lord, you prepare the worshipers, prepare the musicians, prepare the sanctuary and the atmosphere for worship. Lord, prepare the host of heaven to come down and join with us. For, Lord, this is a holy assembly unto you. And, Lord, we invite your presence. We say, come and tabernacle with your people, especially as we go from the Feast of the Trumpets. Father, begin to sound the trumpet all over this nation, all over the earth, and awaken that should wake up in the name of Jesus. And we transition to a time of Yom Kippur, a day of atonement. May the blood speak over us. Amen. Speak over America. Amen. Speak over this fast. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. As we go to the Feast of Trumpets, oh God, dwell with us.
Amen.
We invite you. Partner with us.
Amen.
We say we cannot do this by ourselves. So Lord, we bring all of us here, from the youngest to the oldest, from the least to the greatest. We say, take us by the hand. Lead us through this time, oh God. Help us by your spirit. Take away hunger. Take away weakness. Take away weariness. Take away distraction. Take away the voice of the enemy. Take away sickness. Take away anything that will stand in the way. Father, we yield ourselves to you. And we say, Father, we will make it. By the grace of God, we will make it. We look forward to these 40 days. Anoint each day from day 1 to day 40. Along the way, may we meet you. May you meet with us. Change lives, change minds, change situations. Change everything about us, that we begin to look like you. Speak like you. Talk like you. Live in victory. Even our nation will be transformed as your and in prayer. We give you this time. We say, have your way. May no man be heard. May no man be seen. May all the glory go to you. May we see you, Jesus, high and lifted up. Open our eyes. Open our ears. Open our understanding, that we will see you and go to the next level. Even in Mount Zion, what you have prepared this house for, Father, in this season, make it known. Make it manifest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.